It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome aboard, folks. The mask rule in school not sitting well with many in New York. Fox News medical correspondent Dr. Mark Siegel.
New York State only had 500 new cases yesterday, and the positivity rate is less than 0.5%, the lowest in the entire pandemic.
Still, kids forced to mask up in the classroom. Carissa Mayer is a registered nurse and mom of three from upstate New York.
There's numerous negative and medical implications to wearing masks, claustrophobia, respiratory issues, and also with learning. Kids are at a much lower rate of learning academically when their face is covered all day.
New York congressional candidate Liz Joy.
If the Department of Social Services went to a home in the summer with the heat and they saw a child or a teenager with their nose and mouth covered all day long in the heat, that would be deemed child abuse and they would be removed.
She says parents need to fight for the right for their kids to go maskless in the classroom.
Our children belong to us, not the government, and I encourage every single parent out there to go to the Board of Education, demand an emergency meeting, demand that a no-mask policy be immediately implemented. If enough parents stand up, which I believe they are, we will win this battle.
Governor Cuomo said yesterday the masks can come off outside, but inside they must remain on in New York. Insufferable heat continues from New England to the Northern Plains.
That heat index up to around 100 degrees today.
In Boston, it's been three straight days of 90-plus heat.
The sun is like an oven. It's super hot.
Boston baking in this pre-summer sizzle. So, too, as much of the country.
The heat is good in moderation. This isn't moderation.
20 million of us under heat advisories today.
It's gross. It's 95 degrees out.
And it's June.
It's June. It's going to get worse.
Meteorologist Jeff Berardelli says it won't be as hot today, but it will be more humid, and that makes real field conditions almost unbearable.
Instead of temperatures in the mid to upper 90s to near 100 degrees, they'll be closer to the upper 80s to right around 90. But humidity will be higher, so feels like temperatures will be in the mid-90s.
That high humidity could also spark a few torrential downpours today. There's a flash flood warning in effect until 2:30 this afternoon for northeastern Pennsylvania. Kamala Harris defending her decision not to visit the southern border while in Mexico today, the second leg of her first foreign trip as vice president.
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
Harris interviewed by NBC News, Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
She laughs it off and says, well, I haven't been to Europe. Well, okay, you haven't been to Europe, you haven't been to Australia, but we don't have an Australian border crisis. We don't have a border crisis in Europe. We have a border crisis on the southern border.
Harris says the purpose of her trip south of the border is to get at the root cause of illegal immigration.
If we care about what's happening at the border, we better care about the root causes and address them. And so that's what I'm doing.
In Guatemala yesterday, the VP said migrants who are planning to make the trip to our border need to turn around now and go back. Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez.
For her to say not to come is kind of hypocritical, going against what the president wanted by his actions. His words were actually the things that caused this crisis to begin with.
Brandon Judd is with the National Border Patrol Council.
If people know that they can violate our laws, they're going to continue to come. That's why we're dealing with more people than we've ever dealt with before in the history of the Border Patrol.
The vice president has a meeting of the minds in Mexico City today with the president of Mexico. There are growing calls to hold China accountable for COVID-19.
So this really is a ripe time to bring our allies along with us in isolating China and imposing real consequences on them for unleashing this plague on the world.
Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says evidence is mounting that a leaky lab in Wuhan is what gave birth to the pandemic.
This virus didn't emerge in some remote rural village in a mountain next to a cave full of bats. It emerged in a city larger than New York, just down the road from labs where we know that they were conducting very dangerous research into coronaviruses.
Senator Cotton says if it's proven the virus was man-made, then China should be slapped with sanctions. The U.S. Justice Department has turned the tables on DarkSide, the company behind the ransomware attack on America's largest oil pipeline. Most of the money used in that bribe has been recovered. Colonial CEO Joseph Blount explains why he paid that ransom.
I know how critical our pipeline is to the country, and I put the interests of the country first. I made the decision to pay. It was the hardest decision I've made in my 39 years in the energy industry.
Russian hackers shut down the Colonial Pipeline back in May. CNET's Ian Schur.
What the DOJ appears to have been able to do is actually track where the wallet was going physically, right? Where it was housed in the world. And in this case, be able to go back and collect the money from it.
Cryptocurrency was used to pay off the cyber hackers. That hack attack led to major fuel shortages along the East Coast. A problem this morning on major internet websites caused technical issues at companies like Amazon, the New York Times, and PayPal. Tech reporter Dan Patterson says it was a glitch at the outfit that hosts them all.
When we saw this error, that was kind of a clue because it let us know that a suite of sites, a whole number of different sites, were experiencing the same problem. If this was a major hack, we might see a diverse number of errors instead of this one clue.
Most of the affected websites are back online this afternoon. Still to come on the Noon Report, rescinding Cuomo's emergency powers, opioids' impact on Pennsylvania families, and big news north of the border today. We'll have that story right after this.
Well, good afternoon. Our sticky air is going to stick around for a while, and the result will be a few scattered showers and thunderstorms in this rather humidified tropical air. I'll have forecast details coming up. We'll see you in about 10 minutes.
All right, Kevin, we will see you then. In the meantime, let's check the stories making news where you live, across New York and Pennsylvania. And we will start with some breaking news at the northern border near Buffalo. Canada may be about to ease border restrictions for travel.
What we're hearing up here in Canada is that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is working on a plan to ease Canada's border restrictions for fully vaccinated travelers. So that's people that have two doses, which is more common in the U.S. than in Canada at the current moment. And the government may be announcing that as soon as this week. So there is a lot of excitement on both sides of the border about that for people to be able to reunite with loved ones.
Kate Bolingaro with Bloomsburg News. There's no word yet on when exactly the border may reopen. It's been shut down to non-essential travel since the pandemic began. Federal investigators want information on Governor Cuomo's coronavirus nursing home policies and COVID book deal.
The Wall Street Journal reports that investigators have subpoenaed material from Cuomo's top aides. The Journal reporting that subpoenas were sent to people involved in the early drafts of his book on the pandemic leadership and for other materials used to pitch the book. The book deal netted Cuomo $5 million. Investigators looking into how Cuomo used state resources to write this and promote it. Now, Cuomo's administration also facing criticism over his coronavirus-related nursing home policies early in the pandemic. Scott Pringle, New York.
New York Republicans are calling on the legislature to end the governor's emergency powers. The chief executive has wielded those powers since the pandemic began in March of last year. Corning Assemblyman Phil Palmisano would like to see those powers rescinded before lawmakers leave Albany on Thursday.
It's now time to restore trust, confidence, and credibility back to the people of this state. It's now time to restore checks and balances back to our state government. It's now time to return local control and authority back to our school districts and municipalities.
Republicans outlined a resolution yesterday that would terminate the governor's emergency powers and return New York to pre-pandemic operations. With the clock ticking towards the end of the legislative session, Albany lawmakers could take up the controversial Medical Aid in Dying Act this week. That measure would allow the terminally ill to take their own lives. Corinne Carries with the group Compassion and Choices.
The bill defines that as someone who's living with an illness that is incurable and irreversible and has a prognosis of 6 months or less to live. It would allow that person to ask their doctor for a prescription that they can take at a time of their own choosing to bring about a peaceful death, so long as they can self-ingest the medication.
But several doctors' groups oppose physician-assisted suicide. John O'Brien is a family practitioner at St. Joseph's Health in central New York.
Physician-assisted suicide does not end the hurt.
It just transfers it to another person. I refuse to abandon my patients at a time when they need me the most.
Dr. O'Brien says with so much death due to COVID, now is not the time to be ending lives. It's the time to be saving them. Access to health care causing problems for many older Pennsylvanians, especially in rural areas. Family Life's Terry Diener.
A new study by AARP Pennsylvania and Drexel University outlined just how difficult the past year has been for Pennsylvania seniors. According to the manager of state operations and community outreach at AARP Pennsylvania, her group found that throughout the Pennsylvania's 67 counties, each one had at least one area with few to no access to pharmacies available within a certain mile radius. Access to technology is also a big problem for many seniors, especially as telemedicine has become common for medical visits. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
The Pennsylvania House has advanced a bill that looks at the impact the opioid epidemic has had on families. Lead sponsor, Republican Clint Owlett, says the aim here is to assist children of parents who struggle with substance abuse disorders.
We know that this problem did not go away during COVID, and in fact, now as we're starting to see COVID in our rearview mirror, we're seeing the true effects it's had on our families and our kids, and it's not good.
Owlett says newborns are suffering withdrawal symptoms from drugs they were exposed to in the womb. He adds there's a direct correlation between opioid addiction and a spike in child neglect and child abuse cases. Owlett's bill would set up a task force to study the impact of the opioid abuse epidemic on children. A couple hundred gun rights activists attended a Second Amendment rally on the steps of the Pennsylvania Capitol Monday.
Now is the time for the states to rise up and defend the Second Amendment. They continuously try to shove down our throats gun control.
Rally participants say the gun rights issue should not be such a political hot potato in Harrisburg.
30 years ago, there were more pro-gun Democrats in this building than there were Republicans. The whole party has swung into the nutball realm.
While the gun rights rally was going on, Pennsylvania's Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman was holding a rally of his own.
They're making their statement today, and I'm just making mine.
He was at the Capitol to lobby for gay, lesbian, and transgender rights. He recently broke state law by displaying a gay pride flag at the state capitol.
They're confiscated, and I don't know the enchanted land of missing flags. I don't know where.
State law says only official state and military flags are allowed to be on display on the Capitol grounds there in Harrisburg. Another COVID vaccine incentive in New York, and this one is from the state capitol. The city of Albany is trading parking tickets for COVID shots.
The Albany Treasurer's Office says folks who get vaccinated can now get one outstanding parking ticket voided when they provide proof of vaccination at City Hall, and the program's available to all ticketed drivers, regardless of whether they are Albany City residents. The Treasurer says there are 90,000 outstanding tickets dating back to 2010. Unpaid tickets must be dated prior to June 7th, and the initiative is expected to be in place for at least the rest of the year.
All right, that's Liz Warner reporting, and this is the Noon Report on Family Life. Checking sports next. We'll start with the NBA playoffs. The Nets led by as many as 49 points. They obliterated the Bucks 125-86. Game 2 in Brooklyn. Head coach Steve Nash.
For our group, we want to keep growing, keep getting better. You know, we're still very new to one another, and so there's a lot of things that we can continue to refine.
Kevin Durant and company take a 2-0 series lead on the road to Milwaukee for Game 3. Chris Paul had 21 points, 11 assists as the Suns push past the Nuggets 122-105. Game 1 in Phoenix. Tonight, the Hawks visit the 76ers for Game 2, and the Jazz host the Clippers for the first game of their playoff series. Baseball action. Just 3 games on the docket. The Padres bested the Cubs, Angels over the Royals, and in interleague play, Boston beats the Marlins 5-3. Hockey playoff action. Tyler Toffolo scored in overtime. The Canadiens win 3-2 over the Jets in Montreal, and with that win, Montreal advances to the Stanley Cup semis. The Islanders held off a furious comeback by the Bruins. They win 5-4 in Boston. They take a 3-2 series lead. Head coach Barry Trotz.
We knew they were going to come out early, and they did. And they scored the first goal, and we had to survive that.
And then we had some timely goals.
Tonight, the Lightning look to finish off the Hurricanes, and the showdown between the Avalanche and the Golden Knights shifts back to Denver, with that series evened up 2 games apiece. New York Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau has been named the NBA Coach of the Year. Alabama football coach Nick Saban's agreed to a contract extension that'll keep him in Tuscaloosa through 2028. Aaron Rodgers not expected to show up for Packers minicamp today. And former New York Giants head coach Jim Fossil, who led the team to a Super Bowl appearance in 2001, has died at the age of 71. Fossil passed away from a heart attack yesterday. He coached the Giants from 1997 to 2003. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Tuesday, Barack Obama chiming in on critical race theory. We'll share what he had to say. VP Kamala Harris defending her decision not to go to the southern border. And we'll have more on the mixed mask messaging at school in New York.
Most of us have taken that first step of inviting Jesus into our lives. But did you know that Jesus is actually inviting us into his life? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. One of the most important effects of embracing a deliberate, self-conscious Christian worldview and losing the sacred secular distinction that so many Christians have absorbed from the world around us is seeing the depth, the breadth, and the width of the Lordship of Jesus Christ over every area of life. Once we see life in this way, our understanding of serving Jesus will be radically reshaped in light of the unassailable, undefeatable, and advancing kingdom of God. Once Chuck Colson embraced that vision of the Christian life, he poured it into every single Breakpoint commentary, each and every day, desperate to help Christians think clearly about cultural issues and trends from a Christian worldview. And during the last decade of his life, Colson decided that the best way he could advance this vision would be replication. That's why he invited Christians to study with him through what is now called the Colson Fellows Program, inviting Christians to take a deep dive into Christian worldview over a 10-month course of study. He saw class after class of Christians becoming the kind of culture-shaping leaders that could look at the world around them, effectively analyze, critique, and discern what was happening, and become catalyst of cultural influence and change for Jesus Christ. What makes the Colson Fellows program so different and so vital is that it's not just an exercise in learning new things, as important as that is. Commissioned Colson Fellows are, well, commissioned because their training includes a teaching project, a 3-year planning process, and a self-inventory on who God has made them to be. They're able to apply a Christian worldview in real-world practical ways. Here's how the program works. Those accepted learn how to articulate and defend biblical truth in the marketplace of ideas through intensive instruction on worldview and cultural analysis. Colson Center faculty include folks such as Oz Guinness, Johnny Erickson Totter, Dr. Glenn Sunshine, J. Warner Wallace, Jennifer Marshall, Scott Klusendorf. And in what might be the best part, Colson Fellows study together in either one of 45 regional cohorts around the country, or for those with no local cohort available, through one of our online cohorts. Those who complete the program join a network of more than 1,500 commissioned Colson Fellows who've studied with us and are living out a deeper faith in a broken world. This network includes people like Colson Fellow Kristen Wagoner, one of the leading religious freedom attorneys in the nation, who represented Masterpiece Cake Shop owner Jack Phillips before the Supreme Court. In fact, my interview with Kristen about religious freedom in this age of coronavirus airs today on the Breakpoint podcast. Colson Fellows program director Michael Craven likes to say that as people study with the Colson Fellows, many have this moment of conversion. Serious-minded Christians who've been walking with the Lord for many years discover more clearly, some even for the first time, that they're a part of a much larger story, one that certainly includes but goes beyond our personal salvation in Jesus Christ. Christians often say, I've invited Jesus into my life. But the reality is, Jesus invites all of us into his life, his purpose, his restoring work in the world he created. To this life, his life, we're invited to join him in his work of making all things new. Now, if you're stirred in heart and mind around this kind of faith, this kind of life, come to ColsonFellows.org to learn more. We respond to every inquiry, and we're happy to answer any questions you have. We're taking applications right now for next year's class of Colson Fellows. Again, come to ColsonFellows.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
At 20 past the hour, we pause for weather with Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, considerable cloudiness, hazy, warm, humid, a couple of showers and thundery downpours roaming the area, high temperatures upper 70s to the middle 80s. For tonight, hazy and muggy, partly cloudy with a shower, thunder shower around, low temperatures 60s and low 70s. Then for tomorrow, more clouds and sun, a couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms remaining humid with high temperatures in the upper 70s to the middle 80s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price. Thanks for checking in today. Here's what's going on this Tuesday afternoon, the 8th of June. Rallies to unmask kids in school in New York continue.
They want to breathe. They want to be like little kids.
I'm not saying that if you want your child in a mask, they shouldn't wear one. Absolutely. If you're more comfortable with your child being in a mask, please do so, but there should be an option for parents.
Governor Cuomo says children don't have to mask up outside, but they do inside, and that's not sitting well with some. Mike Gill, superintendent at Elmira Heights, where a mask protest happened Monday.
It's totally reasonable how the folks are handling the circumstance, venting their frustrations. We're frustrated, too, with the lack of what seems like clear leadership coming from Albany.
Others argue with just a couple weeks left in the school year, the masks make sense.
Yes, it's uncomfortable in school. Yes, we all want to take these off. No question about it. But I'd rather not be penny wise and pound foolish. I'd rather have us be deliberative and careful and strategic about public safety.
Union Rep Pete Stolmiller in Western New York. Hamburg Superintendent Mike Cornell says the state dropped the ball when it comes to mask guidelines.
Whether or not the intent was to cause confusion or whether or not the governor's perception was that it didn't cause confusion, it in fact caused confusion all over the state.
The other big story today takes us to the border. Vice President Kamala Harris in Mexico, the second leg of her illegal immigration root cause tour. Now, despite being in Mexico, she has no plans to actually visit the border, which has been overrun by illegal immigrants. Here's what Harris told NBC's Lester Holt this morning.
We have to deal with what's happening at the border. There's no question about that. That's not a debatable point. But we have to understand that there's a reason people are arriving at our border.
Former border agent Tom Homan says since President Biden took office, migrants from more than 160 countries have entered this country illegally.
ICE can't arrest somebody for being in the country illegally anymore. Being in the country illegally is no longer illegal.
In Guatemala yesterday, VP Harris said migrants who are planning to make the trip to our southern border need to turn around now and return to their homes. President Biden leaves tomorrow for his first overseas trek as commander-in-chief. NBC's Tracy Potts.
President Biden embarks on 8 days of diplomacy, joining allies at the G7 summit to discuss ransomware attacks, the COVID pandemic, and global cooperation.
The president will meet with the Queen of England and Russian ruler Vladimir Putin during his European excursion. Former President Barack Obama is mocking conservatives who might have a problem with race-based education in the public schools.
The single most important issue to them apparently right now is critical race theory. Who knew that was the threat to our republic? But those debates are powerful because they get at what story do we tell about ourselves?
Critical race theory teaches that America's founding had more to do with preserving slavery than protecting freedom. The ex-prez tells CNN, some things are hard for white America to hear.
There are certain right-wing media venues, for example, that monetize and capitalize on stoking the fear and resentment of a white population that is witnessing a changing America.
Obama said today's Republican Party is unrecognizable from the GOP of a decade ago. Others argue the same can be said about the Democratic Party. A guest speaker at an Ivy League school is under fire for a recent speech where she admitted that she fantasized about killing white people. New York psychiatrist Dr. Aruna Kilanami delivered those controversial remarks to medical students at Yale University. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee says it's ironic that the person who would utter those hateful words works in the field of psychiatry.
My reaction is to quote the words of Jesus, "Physician, heal thyself." I mean, here is a psychiatrist who obviously is in desperate need of a psychiatrist.
In a statement, Yale University condemned the speech, saying it does not reflect the values of its institution. It's 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guests this week, Chris and Janice Schatz from Kersey, Pennsylvania. They run a ministry aimed at reaching the unchurched through outdoor music. What is Gather on the Grass Worship?
Gather on the Grass Worship is it's a nonprofit organization that we started, and our purpose is to organize community outdoor praise and worship events. We had been to some similar events in other areas, and we're really inspired by it, you know, to kind of bring the community together. A lot of times people won't take the step to go into a church if they're looking for something, you know, they're lost and they're needing the help. And we just felt by having, you know, events like that, that we would hopefully draw in, you know, the people that needed to hear the music or the messages.
Chris, I wanted to talk to you about your personal battles with alcohol and drug addiction. What did it take for you to break free from these chains of addiction?
I was a drug addict and alcoholic for 30 years, and I've been through everything you can think of, and then some. But actually what it took was to know that I've had enough of that life. I didn't want it anymore, and that there was only one way out of it, and that was to look up and to look to Jesus and know that when I surrendered my life to him, I was in state prison, and he completely took all the cravings, the desire, any obsession away from me.
And I've spoken to a lot of addicts, whether it's alcohol, drugs, opioids, and there's that moment where they can point to and say, this is the moment that my life was headed one direction, and it went 180 degrees in the other direction. Do you remember that moment, Chris?
Yes, I do. I was in state prison, and, you know, I was like, I got a beautiful wife at home. I got two beautiful granddaughters and an awesome daughter-in-law. I'm there in my bed alone, and everybody I love is here. I can't see them, you know, and I don't want to live like this anymore. And I'm like, I've had enough.
So many people don't survive with these addictions. Why do you think Christ spared your life?
Because I really believe that he's put a calling on my life to help the other broken people and hurting people. I got a really good message to give to people if they want to hear it.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guests this week, Janice and Chris Schatz from Kersey, Pennsylvania, and they're behind the ministry Gather on the Grass. And Janice, I was wondering if you could maybe explain to us why outdoor music concerts, what makes them so attractive to unbelievers? Because I know you guys are targeting folks who would never step foot in a church. What makes what you guys do so attractive to unbelievers?
I think it's just they hear the music or they see something going on, and it just kind of draws them in. When Chris was gone, you know, those 2 years, I honestly was never a big Christian music person. I love music. I listen to a lot of, I'm a 70s, 80s gal. Started going to a church where they do nothing but, you know, contemporary praise music. So I'm like, well, you know, I need this. I need something to lift my spirits, because I was really struggling while he was gone. And I just found, like, a lot of them, it was like God was speaking directly to me with the words, and then the tears are coming, and and they just, it gives you such a comfort and a peace.
Chris, finally want to end with you. We have so many listeners to our station who have gone through similar things that you've gone through. And for that person who's listening right now, who's struggling with addiction, they don't know where to go. What's your message to that person right now?
You have to look to Jesus. There's no other way. I've tried meetings. Meetings work for some people, but truly, unless you have God in your life, Until you do that, it's never going to get better. You got to let him have it to never give up. There's always hope. Tomorrow's another day.
That's Chris and Janice Schatz from Kersey, Pennsylvania, this week's Hometown Heroes. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, that rather humid, semi-tropical air that's been with us now since the start of the work week is going to linger right into tomorrow. And with it will come these showers and storms, hit and miss. But when there's a thunderstorm, for a downpour. Later in the week, the weather stays fairly unsettled. So keep an eye on the sky and the umbrella at hand. The call for this afternoon, considerable cloudiness, hazy, warm, humid. A couple of showers and thundery downpours roaming the area. High temperatures, upper 70s to the middle 80s. But tonight, hazy and muggy, partly cloudy with a shower, thunder shower around. Low temperatures, 60s and low 70s. Then for tomorrow, more clouds, the sun, a couple of scattered showers and thunderstorms, remaining humid with high temperatures in the upper 70s to the middle 80s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Finally at noon today, meet the man who gets his kicks making sticks. We're talking lacrosse sticks here. For over 60 years, Elfie Schock has been making wooden lacrosse sticks from scratch at his home on the Onondaga Indian Nation near Syracuse.
I love making sticks. I get a kick out of this. I have a good time with it.
The 72-year-old started making lacrosse sticks with his dad when he was just 12.
We didn't have enough money to buy a stick, and back then they were like $4 or $5 a piece. They were cheap. But we didn't have any money. My dad felt bad about it, and he says one day, let's make our own.
And from those humble beginnings grew a prosperous cottage stick-making industry. Schock says during the 1970s, he was pumping out over 12,000 lacrosse sticks a year.
In this little building. I don't know how the heck we did it. But we did. It was a lot of work. It was, 24/7. You know, if we weren't playing or coaching lacrosse or traveling to a game, we were making lacrosse sticks.
It takes up to a year to make one lacrosse stick properly, and Elfie Schock is one of the few wooden stick makers left in the entire country.
If I can still make a few when I'm 82, okay, I will. I'll keep on doing this as long as I'm able to do it.
Schock says he likes to share his craft and knowledge of lacrosse with the younger generation, and that's what pushes him on to the next lacrosse stick year after year. Whatever you do, do it with excellence. And that's the world we live in. Tuesday, the 8th of June. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.